Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It comes down to the fact I'm bitter that the guy with the most touchdown passes in the history of the New York Jets is Ryan Fitzpatrick in a year in which they didn't even make the playoffs.
A guy from Harvard.
Right. Aaron Rodgers could break the all-time record for touchdown passes by a New York Jet in a season. That's on the table. That's depressing considering he has not had a great year and they're 3-6. That's my issue. That's the part that I get like kind of crazy by.
By the way, you want to hear the rest of this list? It's so pathetic. Number two is Vinny in 98, 29, and that was a great year, so no mocking there.
Mm-hmm. Then it's Mark Sanchez.
How many?
26 in 2011. Oh. Then it's Joe Namath, 26 in 1967. Like, that's the history that we're talking about. By the way, Brett Favre in 2008, and we talked about his 6-touchdown game he had against Arizona early in that 08 season.
Yeah.
Ended up only throwing 22 touchdown passes that year. Aaron Rodgers should shatter that.
How many plays did he play?
He played every game.
How many games did he play?
He played every game.
Did he?
Brett did not. No, that was part of the problem. Part of the problem with Brett Favre that year is that he was hurt and he played through it.
Oh, well,
and
that's
so
right.
He
that's right.
Devolved as the season went on. That was the real issue with Brett Favre. Like, he was not good at the end of the season. Like, in the final 5 games they played, he threw 9 interceptions to 2 touchdown passes. So yeah. He just completely collapsed at the latter part of the season, and they finished 9-7. By the way, collapsed to 9-7. For the Jets, it'd be a celebration to get to 9-8. Chris in Bayshore, what's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, listen, I'm not a Jet fan. I just listen to Evan. You know, I love you and all, but, you know, I think when you talk about Rodgers, you're talking about a name and you're talking about a legacy. I mean, you watch the games, he's not the Aaron Rodgers that all Jet fans are hoping he's going to be. And I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but you just got to watch the games to know that it's not just watching Aaron Rodgers.
So watching the games, here's what I would tell you, Chris. Of course, it's not all Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying to win a particular football game, sometimes you need your quarterback to play like a superstar, like we've seen Lamar Jackson do. I'm asking in one game for Aaron to play at that level, not the rest of the entire season. That's number one. Number two, here's where I disagree with you. He has shown flashes of the old Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't done it for a complete game, no question, but there have been moments in which you say, I see it in him. So can he, for 60 minutes against an average defensive Arizona Cardinal team, give you that one vintage performance? I'm naive enough or maybe hopeful enough to say he's got one left in him.
Well, I think he needs more than one. That's
I'm talking about just this week, though.
He needs to show it. You need to see it. There needs to be a fear that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. And until you see that, there's always going to be doubt. And I think more importantly, there was a point where Aaron Rodgers would... Like you feared playing the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
You feared him because you just didn't know what he was going to do. And when you have a quarterback, Lamar is this way in a sense, and it's different than Aaron because he's not necessarily, Lamar is throwing for 400 yards a game and 5 touchdowns, even though he did throw for 4 touchdowns last night. But it's just a fear in Lamar. It's like, I don't know what he's going to do. Aaron used to be that way.
He doesn't have it now.
He doesn't have that anymore.
The hope is he can find one more.
Well, the reason he needs to is because if he does it, then everybody starts saying, oh crap. Now this guy is back.
Right.
Like, that's when it comes, that's when like you start to beat your opponent before you even get to your opponent.
No question. Now last night, if you watched Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson go at it, you also saw Zach Taylor make an interesting decision to go for 2 after the Bengals scored a touchdown with about 38 seconds to go. I don't know about you, I completely agreed with it.
Yeah.
It's going for the win and not allowing that game to come down to a coin toss.
Well,
because the way the offenses were playing, my eyes told me if you don't go for two and you kick the extra point, you're allowing a coin to potentially determine if you win or lose. I'd rather have my offense determine if I win or lose on a play, one play to determine it all, as opposed to a coin. And that's why, even though it didn't work, more on why it didn't work in a few seconds, I completely agree with Zach Taylor's decision to go for two.
Well, you had to, because even with 30-something seconds left, here's what happened in the second half. The Baltimore Ravens got forced to punt on their first possession. They scored a touchdown on every subsequent one.
Yes.
And so you're saying, even if there's only 38 seconds, I don't trust my defense to stop them again.
I also don't trust, if I lose the coin toss, that I'm ever going to see the football
again. Well, that
again.
Too. But I'm forget even getting to overtime.
Right.
I'm talking about with 35 seconds left.
Sure.
Right. Think about the one touchdown in the fourth quarter. That is just a dump off.
Right.
And it goes, whatever, 70-something yards for a touchdown.
And you also had a very angry Justin Tucker, because remember, he missed a rare extra point earlier in that game.
Yeah, he did.
So he could have made one from 65 yards. But then you get to the final play. And for those that didn't see the final play, the two-point conversion, I'd like to let you listen to the way it was described by Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, and Terry McCauley, who is the rules expert, because this perfectly summarizes the controversy of the two-point conversion that failed last night between the Ravens and the Bengals.
Yeah, it was clearly defensive holding before the pass was in flight.
Yeah.
That should have been called. And that does look like forcible contact to the head of the quarterback. That's a person that's roughing the passer and should have been called.
Too many games end this way. They just do.
Yep.
You miss calls, the whole thing. It's so frustrating to the fans. So frustrating.
Couple of things. Al Michaels, I know he gets a lot of crap for not being excited after touchdowns. That's why Al Michaels is great. Because Al Michaels...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Michaels told the truth in about 10 seconds to the entire audience, and hopefully the commissioner was listening. He represents all of us, which is, this happens too much. That two-point conversion was riddled with penalties that you didn't call. And not only did Terry McCauley, who's basically there to defend the shield. You may not agree with me on that, Teague, but that's how I feel, that these rules experts there are there to tell you, they got it right. He not only told you the league got it wrong, Al summarized in a very succinct way what we all thought going to sleep last night. Too many times the officials decide these games, and I commend Al for telling it like it is.
I'm just looking at this again, the two-point conversion. It looks like Joe Burrow took a left in a boxing match.
Yes.
The way his head turns and he's getting tackled, so that's why he goes down so quickly, but it looks like he just gets decked and goes to the ground. Now, that's forceful contact to the head. Even if you just lay your hand on a quarterback's head, you get called for that foul, and it doesn't get called. Now, I don't know who the back judge is in this game, but the defensive holding on the tight end, 81, it's obvious, and he's getting ready to throw the flag. So he turns, like he's eyeing him, and he turns to throw the flag, and then he doesn't.
Why doesn't he?
I have no idea. I just keep watching it back over and over. He turns to throw the flag, and then he does it.
So one thing that I think...
It's like he misses it.
Right.
And then he just says, all right, forget it. The ball's going the other way. It's not consequential.
Well, what I want people to realize, because I know it's easy to jump to conspiracy theories, is if you watch the entirety of that last drive, there were a lot of penalties on that last drive,
yes,
and many of them were on Baltimore. So it's not as if there's a conspiracy against the Bengals or they're trying to help the Ravens. There's none of that. It's just purely incompetence. It's just purely, for whatever reason, officials missing calls that we at home all obviously see, and they turn out to be so consequential they change a game. And it's frustrating, even though I was happy with the result, I admit, for as a Jet fan, I wanted the Bengals to lose. All of us didn't cover, by the way. And we told you this last night at about 6:15.
Right. Go the other way.
Yeah, go the other way. Hopefully you did. You would have won a couple of dollars. So selfishly, like, I'm happy that the Bengals lost. But it is mind-numbing as a football fan to see such obviousness missed. Yeah. And it's not a conspiracy. It's not that garbage. It's just incompetence. And the NFL needs, I'm begging them, they need to find a way to get better. I tell my sons this all the time. Just improve. Just get better. Just don't make the same mistakes over and over again. Don't get worse. I try to do the same thing as a professional. I may screw up. I may do a bad show. It may be my fault, Tiki, that our show sucked the other day. Not your fault, my fault. And I say, all right, Ev, don't make that same mistake again. Why does the NFL make the same mistake over and over and over again?
Well, it's not the same mistake. It's just the same situation.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know. I know. Because what can they do about it?
I don't know.
I don't know how they grade these referees and umpires. I don't know how they grade them. I don't know, you know, if primetime games go to better crew. I don't know. I have no idea. But it is something that we constantly talk about. And that's not a good thing. When an official's decision or non-decision is more of the conversation, or at least a bigger part of the conversation than it should be, then you got a problem with the officials. Period.
I think the biggest issue is the officials unanimously, and this starts earlier in the year and tapers off, stop worrying about such ticky-tack stuff in quarters 1, 2, and 3, and stop worrying about hammering that home in September and October because you want to come out and, you know, teach right. everybody a lesson. Well, because I think you get fatigue and the league stresses to these refs as it goes on. Hey, sometimes you got to put the flags in the pockets. Our games are getting bottled down, all that. But if they weren't calling such ticky-tack stuff nonstop through all these games.
Well, on the last drive that Evan was talking about with the Ravens getting penalties after penalty, those were, like, obvious.
Well, this is my point.
When you talk about a face mask, that's obvious.
Yes.
When you talk about a destroying of Joe Burrow, roughing the passer, that's obvious. A guy jumps off sides, that's obvious. Like the ones that, it's so they call the obvious ones. And then on the last play, the 2-point conversion or penultimate play, they don't call a clearly obvious.
Well, that's penalty. The thing. It's also an obvious call.
I know.
And I don't know if it's not wanting to call something on a 2-point conversion. I don't know if there's an aversion to the diversion. Mm. An aversion to the conversion. Mm. You don't want. It's like not wanting to throw a flag on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Like officials don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But how you miss this, because I get it. Like officiating isn't easy, but missing obvious calls week after week, it's unhealthy for the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not a good thing. I know that the old saying is no publicity is bad publicity, but I don't know, man. My fear is that if this continues year after year after year, I think it's going to hurt the league as a whole in general. Because even though I don't think there should be a distrust, people have a distrust.
Well, the fear is that people stop trusting the result. That's why you need the refereeing to be more consistent, because then people stop saying, oh yeah, this is a fair contest.
Right.
You start to think that there's something a foul. Now, we've been talking about that for probably a decade.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet.
Like it hasn't hurt interest in the league.
That's
yet.
What I mean.
Yes.
It hasn't the lack of trust in the final product hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And so until it does and people start saying, yeah, it's fixed.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.